On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we are on the road from the Tank Rowley press conference here in downtown Brooklyn. We're going to talk to former NFL star Ryan Clark. We're going to talk to Showtime Sports president Steven Espinosa. I'm going to give you my fight picks, and we're going to break this huge fight down. And we have some more fight news, a lot of fights being made in the boxing world. Let's get it. What is up, everybody? Dan Canobio here for another edition of Inside Boxing Live, presented by John Boy Media. We are here in downtown Brooklyn at the Marriott, to be precise, for the press conference between Tank Davis and Rolly Romero, a big pay-per-view fight that you can see on Showtime this Saturday, beginning at 9 p.m. On the show today, we're going to talk to Showtime Sports president Steven Espinosa to go behind the scenes on how these fights are made, the future of Tank. Tank is talking about leaving Mayweather Promotions. What does that mean for Tank and Showtime? We're also going to talk about Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. Is that fight going to end up on Showtime? Plans for the second half for Showtime. Will we see fights on CBS? All that and more with Steven Espinosa. And a really fun conversation with Ryan Clark. It was cool to see him here, former Steelers standout, Super Bowl champ. You know, he is now in the combat sports world. He has a show with Daniel Cormier focusing on MMA, but he's also a big boxing fan. Always nice to talk to other people outside the world of boxing, especially professional athletes, get their thoughts on the sport. Everyone wants a piece of boxing. Whether it's Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes with All the Smoke here at Showtime, whether it's guys like Ryan Clark, you know, you'll see those types of athletes come out for big fights. Tank brings out big names, and he's going to be doing that on Saturday night. They're talking about a record gate. They're talking about the biggest boxing event in the history of Barclays Center. There have been some big fights at the Barclays Center. Is this fight between Tank and Rowley? We're recording this open after the presser. They both touched on the stage. Heated. Very heated. It had a little bit of comedy. Had a little bit of everything. I expected a little more fisticuffs, maybe, but I'm glad there wasn't, because we want to see that happen in the ring on Saturday. But before we get to breaking down the fight, before we get to my fight picks and the interview, some news and notes in the boxing world. Canelo versus Triple G is set. The trilogy, September 17th. That's going to be on DAZN pay-per-view. I know it's a fight that the hardcores do not want. This is a fight for the mainstream sports fan. Will it sell? That remains to be seen, but I do think it will be a fun fight. Trilogies are fun. I don't want to always use that comparison of Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder's third fight being the best of the three, but who knows with this one. Triple G did show in that fight with Murata that he still has power, that he can still take a punch. We just don't know if he can take punches to the body. Canelo, one of the best body punchers in the game, and also the fact that the fight is at 168 pounds and not 160. Triple G, an older fighter, 40 years old, not having to boil down to 160 is a huge variable in this fight. Canelo losing his last fight, huge variable in this trilogy fight. It makes it more interesting to me. Wasn't always a big fan of this fight, but the fact that Canelo's coming off of a loss, the fact that Golovkin could potentially hand Canelo consecutive losses. At that point, Canelo's career is in a tailspin at that point. Two straight losses, loses all of his belts to Triple G. So it's a fun fight. It's a fight that we may not like right now because there's so many other big fights we want to see for each guy. But once September comes around and they start promoting this fight, I think a lot of fans will get on board. And, you know, we could have a decisive winner in this trilogy, a little bit of closure, even though it's been 5 years since their last fight. Michaela Mayer and Alicia Bumgarner have signed on the dotted lines for a huge unification bout at 130 pounds late summer, early fall. This took me completely off guard. I'm sure it did for you as well. It looked like they were going to look for other fights. It looked like they were going to look to get other belts. Michaela Mayer wanted to fight Choi. I know that Bumgarner also wanted to fight Choi. They wanted to get another belt in order to make this a bigger fight, bring more to the negotiation table. I'm glad they didn't, because this fight needs to happen right now. They don't like each other. They talk a lot of smack on Twitter. As of yesterday, they were debating on Twitter that who got this fight done. Who was it, Michaela Mayer in my side, or was it Alicia Bumgarner and Eddie Hearn's side? They do not like each other. And also, I think it will be a fun stylistic fight where you got the volume of Michaela Mayer and you got the power of Alicia Bumgarner. But you take a look around, women's boxing is having a banner year, almost a revolutionary year in 2022. What we saw with Taylor and Serrano at the end of April, Madison Square Garden, arguably fight of the year. You know, you heard from Jake Donovan on last week's pod. The BWAA is putting Taylor Serrano with the men for 2022 Fight of the Year. That just shows you what type of fight it was. Now we're going to get Michaela Mayer and Alicia Bumgarner out. From as we record this, it looks like Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall are going to fight sometime in September. Those are three massive fights for women's boxing, and we can get them all in 2022. So that's great news for the women. Deontay Wilder announced that he's returning to boxing. He got a statue in Tuscaloosa, and awesome scenes for the Bronze Bomber over in Tuscaloosa, getting a statue, a guy that got into boxing at age 19 as a way to feed his daughter. And he goes on to be heavyweight champion, defend his title 10 times, get a statue in his hometown. That is some amazing, amazing stuff. But he says he wants to return. He said he's not done on this journey of boxing, and there are some huge fights. Obviously, everyone wants to see Deontay Wilder still fight Anthony Joshua. But the heavyweight division is very fluid. I'd sign up for Deontay Wilder, Andy Ruiz. That would be a sick fight. So there are some big fights for Wilder. He's one of the top five most exciting fighters in the game. He's box office. He comes to knock you out. I believe that the sport of boxing is entertaining when Deontay Wilder is involved with it. Last week, Showtime's triple header, highlighted by David Benavidez, did a higher rating than ESPN. That is significant because ESPN is in a lot more homes than Showtime. You're going to hear from Stephen Espinosa on this pod. They're very proud of that. They're very proud of the fights that they are putting on their network. They're on a hell of a run. There's no debating that. So that is some of the news and notes. Let's get into the fight breakdown for Rolly Romero versus Tank Davis. And don't blink in this fight, because they are coming to throw power shots. 20 of their 24 landed punches per round or power shots. Javonta Davis leads the lightweight division in terms of power connect percentage. It's third in all boxing. Lands 47% of his power shots, but he does it on just 37 punches per round. This is why I equate Javonta Davis to Canelo Alvarez. They both fight that low volume, high accuracy, game changing power tightrope. And we saw it with Canelo. It's a dangerous way to fight. You know, you don't always come out on top. You know, if your power isn't there and you're not throwing volume, you're going to lose rounds. That could be the case for Javonta Davis. I don't think it will be on Saturday night. As for Rolly, he throws around 46 punches per round. That is below the weight class average, but it's a lot more than Tank's 37 per round. Romero, 2 inches taller than Tank. You see that when they do their stand-up, but only has a half of an inch of a reach advantage. So I don't think that Romero can go in there and use his length and try to jab in this fight. I think it's going to be a straight-out brawl. It's going to be something. It's going to be one heck of a fight forever how long it lasts. Obviously, Tank, the big storyline for the last couple of months has been his relationship with Mayweather Promotions, whether he'll be leaving Mayweather Promotions. You know, he did an interview with Brian Custer that was recorded last month where he said, this will be my last fight with Mayweather Promotions. But this week, here at the press conferences and all the events, he's kind of walked that back a little bit and said, you know what, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I'm focused on Rolly. We'll address that when we get to it. But that's what everyone wants to see. I mean, it's a pretty much consensus opinion in boxing. It's a really hard thing to have any consensus opinions in boxing, that we want to see Javonta Davis in the biggest fights possible. Whether by his own words, Javonta Davis says that he wants to take the training wheels off. So maybe he believes that Mayweather Promotions, whether it's Leonard Ellerby, whether it's Floyd Mayweather, are holding him back, and he wants to get in there with a Devin Haney or a Kambosos winner. You know, he wants to get in there with a Ryan Garcia. And if that means that, you know, taking out Mayweather Promotions from the equation, you know, so be it. He's still going to work with Al Haymon. We've talking to Espinosa, still wants to work with Showtime, but that is a big storyline in this fight. Should Javonta Davis win on Saturday night, what's next for him? Because this is his last fight with Mayweather Promotions. Before we get to our interviews, I got to tell you about DraftKings. I am working with DraftKings. We have partnered with DraftKings. We're a few miles away from the Barclays Center right here, home of the Nets. They are at home watching the playoffs, just like us. NBA playoffs are hot in the streets. Looks like it's going to be Warriors versus Celtics. The finals are quickly approaching, and DraftKings Sportsbook is putting all new customers in the center of the action. New customers can spend just $5 on any team and get $150 in free bets instantly. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can bet same-game parlays. You can bet my same-game parlay, combine multiple bets for a bigger payout. That's always fun to do same-game parlays. Download the Sportsbook DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code IBL. That's IBL. you get $5 on any pro basketball team, you get $100 in free bets instantly. That's promo code IBL DraftKings Sportsbook. With that being said, let's get to my picks of the weekend. Same day a parlay. You're going to be able to see that on the DraftKings app on Saturday. Last week, I had all the winners correct. I just didn't have the proper rounds. I had Craig Richards taking him to 12 rounds the distance with Joshua Bawazzi. That one hit, and I was on to the night portion. For some reason, I had Danny Diggum going 7 rounds with Janabek. That obviously did not happen. And Benavidez took out Lemieux in 2 rounds. So I had the winners, just didn't have the right rounds. This week, I got 2 picks for you. I like Arizlandy Lara to knock out Spike O'Sullivan in rounds 1-6. And you can get that for plus 150. My reasoning behind that is Arizlandy Lara lands 46% of his power shots. That's 8th in all of boxing. Spike O'Sullivan opponents land 40% of their shots. That's a recipe for a stoppage. O'Sullivan hasn't fought in like 2 years. Lara's still got a lot to prove. I know he's a little long in the tooth, but the precision of Lara and the leaky defense of Spike O'Sullivan should produce a knockout in the first 6 rounds. That's the first leg of my parlay. And then the main event, Tank. I'm going with Tank knockout in rounds 7-12. I went back and forth on this one. I do think Tank gets the stoppage. It's just a matter of when. He's a noted slow starter, Gervonta Davis, threw just 17 punches per round versus Barrios in rounds 1-4 before stepping on the gas and getting him out of there. But he's very precise. Tank lands 47% of his power shots. Once he gets going, he is hard to stop. I think Rolly's awkwardness, I think Rolly's power, his length could give Tank a little, I wouldn't say issues, but could make Tank even more cautious in those early rounds. I think he steps on the gas in the 5th, 6th round, gets Rolly out of there in the second half of the fight. But that is my same game parlay. You can get that over on the DraftKings Sports book. I got Arizona Lara to knock out Spike O'Sullivan in rounds 1-6, and then Tank in a second half stoppage. With that, let's go to our interviews. You're going to hear from Steven Espinosa, and you're also going to hear from Ryan Clark. I am joined right now by Showtime Sports President Steven Espinosa. Just came off the stage, Tank Rolly presser. I thought it went pretty well, considering the bad blood that we had, considering these two do not really like each other. Good stare down, no fisticuffs, which we don't want. We want to see that happen in the ring. First off, how you doing?
I'm good. No, and you're 100% correct. A successful press conference in this case means there's not a brawl.
Right.
So step one, we've achieved.
Now, before we get to the hard-hitting questions, I got to tell you, Steven, sweaty sack summer is approaching. Some say it's already arrived. But fear not, Manscaped, the king of crotch comfort, has you covered. They spent over 2 years designing the most comfortable boxers ever. I've worn them, and I can attest, they are the real deal, Holyfield, these boxers. You can choose some an arrangement of colors, sizes that go up to 3XL for all my big guys out there. Hitting below the waist is wrong in boxing. We know that. Hopefully we don't see that on Saturday night, but there's nothing wrong about below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped has the Lawnmower 4.0, a.k.a. the best electric trimmer for below-the-waist grooming. For the love of God, my friends out there, do not use your beard trimmer down there. Use the Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off free shipping with code BOXING at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOXING at manscaped.com. Once these boxers touch your sack, you'll never go back.
A lot of good information in that read. A lot of good advice, a lot of good tidbits.
Listen, it's hot in New York City.
you're right.
This past weekend, I was at the Yankee game in the 80s, in the 90s. I had to go out after. I used the ball deodorant and went out and had a great night. So,
well, look, no better testament than the experience of real-life situation.
That's
there
where
you go.
We go. Let's get into the good stuff, Steven. Huge fights, trending, and all the numbers are trending great. The gate is going to be huge, the record sellout crowd. First of all, getting boxing back at the Barclays Center, I feel like it is a big win for Showtime, big win for boxing in general, too.
It absolutely is. It's hard to overstate how important Barclays Center was to not just East Coast boxing, but boxing overall. I mean, in the 8 years from opening in 2012 up to the pandemic, we did 20 shows there. I'm sorry, 21 shows there. There's no other venue, short of maybe, I don't think there's anywhere in Vegas that was doing that many shows, 3 shows a year for 8 years. And it was, what they developed here was a brand. Brooklyn Boxing is a brand, you know, they integrated really well with the community. They're drawing not just from Brooklyn, from the tri-state area, and it gave a new life, I think, to the East Coast in particular with some really big-time fights.
So it's safe to say we can see more fights happen at the Barclays Center, more regularity?
I think so. Look, they stopped for two reasons. One was the pandemic, of course, and the other was a change in ownership at the Nets and the Barclays Center. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've gotten their feet under them. You know, they know what the business model is. You know, we're past the shutdown days. So I'm optimistic that we'll come back and see them, you know, back in the boxing business two or three times a year.
Yeah, like I love
they
it
have
there.
In the past.
I'm a little biased as a New Yorker, but I love Barclays Fight Night is like unlike any other. I mean, it's loud in there. There's weed smoke going on. There's great fights, knowledgeable fans. They come out early, too. It's a great venue, and hopefully we see more big fights at the Barclays Center. How about talking about this run that Showtime is on? Jeez, I mean, you guys have been busy. Going back, we'll start in April, just going with Lubin and Fundora, Spence and Ugas. What we saw last weekend with David Benavidez, huge number two, big rating, you know, outrating the ESPN fight. And you got to keep in mind, ESPN is in a lot more homes than Showtime. Yep. Been an outstanding run. We have Tank and Rolly, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon as we get into the second half of 2022. But what a run that Showtime is on, delivering fight fans some big fights.
Look, and they've all looked great on paper, and they've been even better in the ring. I mean, when we look at the undisputed fight with Charlo Castaño, you know, as much as there was writing on that fight, you want it to be a good fight for the sport. You know, so it's great when a fight lives up to the hype. When you've got 40,000 people in AT&T Stadium and Spence delivers a thrilling performance. So, you know, we can do only so much in terms of putting them on paper. And then when the fighters come and they live up to everything that they potentially could have been and then more, you can't ask for a better result.
Charlo Castaño, your fight of the year. I know we had a nice little discussion on Twitter. Look, a fight of the year discussion broke out in the middle of May. Gotta love it.
That's right. In reality, it's like it's one of those things. Everybody has slightly different criteria for pound for pound. Yeah. Fight of the year is even fuzzier. My point on that was, like, I tend to take into account the stature of the fight. So, you know, if you've got four great fights, including Taylor Serrano and including Charlo Castaño in a couple other fights, and they're all roughly the same. Getting that kind of performance in the highest stage possible with the best competition possible, that's Taylor Serrano and Castaño and Charlo, that to me is sort of the tiebreaker. I'd put them just half a notch ahead of everything else.
Great fights. I said it's just a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And when you have five or six, you know, candidates for fight of the year in May. Then boxing's having a really good year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, there's been a lot of turmoil in boxing, a lot of change, a lot of disruption in all of media. But, you know, and I'm on record saying the competition is a good thing, you know, and that one network can't be the lifeline for the entire sport. But at the same time, you know, when we had five different entities in boxing, it's hard to make good fights. You know, it is not a coincidence that, you know, now we're sort of whittling down the number of networks and platforms that are in the sport actively, and it's easier to make big fights, you know. So there's a sweet spot in the middle. You know, it'd be great to have, you know, seven networks promoting boxing the way the NFL has, but it makes it harder to make those fights.
I know, too many cooks in the kitchen. You're right. It was back in the day when it was just you guys Showtime and, you know, and HBO, it was easier to make fights. And we're seeing that, you know, it looks like Fox is kind of out of the picture a little bit. I know I get asked a lot, too. It's like, Charlo Castaño, that fight should have been on CBS. You know, I've asked you this before. Has anything changed in that regard of CBS, the, you know, parent company of Showtime getting into boxing again?
Yeah, it's a complicated factor. I mean, number one, there are no slow nights on CBS. They're the number one network. So whatever night of the week, whether it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they've got big shows. So I would only go to them with sort of the best of the best. And you're right. Obviously, Charlo Castaño would have qualified. Selfishly, you know, we also want good stuff on our network, too. So there is a little selfishness in that. But I think in the right in the near future, we'll see, I think, both Bellator and boxing on CBS and hopefully on a regular basis.
Oh, I like that. Talking about big fights, one of the biggest fights you can make in boxing is Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. Both fighters are indicating that the fight, it's going to happen. It's fight fans are excited. Is that someone Showtime's going to get involved with, considering Spence's relationship with the network?
We're involved to the extent that we can be helpful. Like you said, too many cooks. We don't want to complicate it, but if we can help the process along, then we definitely will in help figuring out the finances. And I think that's really the main issue there, is what is appropriate compensation, for both guys, and how big a fight is that, is it 500,000 buys? Is it 1 million buys? Is it more? As boxing fans, we're all super excited about that. We're living in a time of a lot of piracy, a lot of noise, so the real question is, what's a fair compensation? I think that's where all the work is going to be. It's clear that both guys want the fight. It's clear that there are very few, if any, legal or promotional challenges in the way. So I'm optimistic as well. We just have to do the hard part on the numbers.
Where else it could possibly land? I mean, with Spence being so aligned with PBC and Showtime, I could see that being a Showtime pay-per-view, right?
Your lips to God's ears. That's certainly what we're pushing for.
Okay.
And we're thrilled to have him back on the network with the Ugas fight.
Another big name in the sport is Jake Paul. Mm-hmm. He has fought on Showtime in the past. He says August 13th is his next date. He's talking about putting big baby Glenn Davis on the card. They're looking for opponents. What is the latest on Jake Paul? I know he's a network free agent, quote unquote. Has there been discussions? Will Jake Paul's next fight be on Showtime?
There's definitely been discussions, and there's ongoing discussions, and we're aggressively pursuing it. And if we look back at the big picture, and this is a roundabout way of saying it, whenever we have success with something, it brings in other suitors. I mean, it's no coincidence that after we did Mayweather Pacquiao and Mayweather McGregor, that triggered a whole range of other networks and platforms who all of a sudden said, hey, we should be looking at this boxing thing. Jake was doing great stuff before we came along. I think we elevated it and, added some credibility and did some different things and, put him on a slightly larger platform, and he benefited, as did we. But that has brought in a lot of people with very aggressive offers, and we will make it as aggressive offer as we can that is financially responsible. And, Jake's doing the right thing. He's taking his time and talking to everybody and to the deal. And whether we end up with the deal or not, we're thrilled at the two events that we got. We'd love to be in business with him going forward. I think he's a great thing for the sport.
Yeah, we'll know soon, because August 3rd is quickly.
It's coming up.
It's coming up pretty damn soon. Second, let's talk about the main event, why we're here. We got Tank and Rolly. A lot of money coming in on Tank early stoppage. Rolly's talking about getting him out of there in the first round and get that for like plus 1,000. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's an interesting betting fight. We're sponsored by DraftKings, and I look at the lines and I got to come up with picks myself. It's not easy, but this is an interesting betting fight, because I don't think it's going the distance. It's just like whether you think the knockout's going to come in the first six or it's going to come in the second half. I like this fight because it's going to be a knockout, and fans love knockouts.
Yeah, the unknown factor, the X factor, is often power, as is in this case. You certainly could make the case that that Rolly has not fought anyone with the power that Tank has. So I'm not questioning his chin, but when he gets hit with that level of power, what happens? You could probably say the same for Tank, except arguably, Cruz is a big puncher. Mm-hmm. And so, maybe he's faced that kind of power before, but not really sure. So that's what makes it so difficult to call. It's like picking a heavyweight fight. Like, one punch can truly change anything.
I'll have my picks later on in the show. I know everyone's waiting on bated breath for those. A lot of questions about Tank's future, whether it's going to be with Mayweather Promotions or not. What is his future with Showtime?
Well, look, we're really proud of the work that we've done with Mayweather Promotions, and we're going to continue being in business with them. But, Tank's... At the end of the day, we're in the business of putting on fights, and Tank's one of the biggest stars in the sport. And as much as we enjoy working with Mayweather Promotions and respect them, if Tank decides, to go somewhere else and work with somebody else, we're going to hope to remain in business with Tank. We're proud of the 11 fights we've done with him And we feel like some ownership in helping him get to this point. So we're certainly going to expect to contribute to him going forward and expect him to remain with the network for a long time.
Yeah, he's a guy you build a network around. He is a bona fide star. There's no doubt about it. Whether he's getting the biggest fights, that's a story that remains to be seen. It seems like he wants the bigger fights. It seems like he's maturing. Just him on stage not getting baited into some of those conversations with, that Rolly wanted. Fans are excited to see what's next for him. You know, I don't know. They want to see him in big fights. They want to see Tank in big fights. Right. I think he's ready for them, 27, 28 years old. He says he wants the training wheels to be taken off, and I would expect that you know, you're someone that always been part of big fights too. You know, there are some big fights out there, whether it's a Devin Haney, it could be a co-promotion fight, two networks, or, you know, it's guys at 140 he's looking at. It's time, I believe. And it's not an outlandish thing. He said that for Tank to get these mega fights.
Yeah, and it's not for lack of trying. I mean, you know, we got to the point, and, you know, you and I have talked about this quite a bit. Like, when we're trying to make big fights or trying to make fights in general, my general mindset is the less you talk about it publicly, the better, because then people start reading headlines and looking at social media and their ego gets involved and it complicates the negotiation. But, you know, in this particular case, you know, if we go back to the Jermall Charlo situation, mm-hmm. that's one where, you know, we saw that he was getting some heat. So we sort of opened up the book a little bit and said, look, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make this fight. We're trying to make this fight. In one of the rare occasions where we said, we're making public offers, and here's the offers that we're making, because there was a narrative going on that Jermall, you know, wasn't looking for big fights. You know, and now we can see very clearly we aggressively chased Canelo. And then Munguia, and ended up with Sulecki. And that's been the case with Tank as well. You know, I think the one that's most attractive to me, I think, is the biggest fight of all of them, is Ryan Garcia.
Yes, 100%. I got a lot of flack for just being a Ryan Garcia fan. I think he's good for the sport.
He is good for the sport. And, you know, he's bringing a demographic, and he extends beyond boxing fans. Like, yeah, he's, you know, the traditional boxing fan. It's sort of the reaction to Oscar. You know, when Oscar was sort of too good-looking, right. He was a pretty boy, like, it took him a while to fight through that and gain the respect of the boxing audience. I think Ryan will get there.
Right.
I mean, just because he's a good-looking young kid, people, you know, want to criticize him.
I'll say this. I working at John Boy Media, it is a place where a lot of the people that work there do not know much about boxing. They know who Gervonta Davis is, and they know who Ryan Garcia is.
Yep.
That means a lot. Outside of the heavyweights, that means a lot. And Ryan Garcia has been on my show, and he said, I straight up made a mistake when I thought I had a fight with Gervonta Davis, mm-hmm. and I went and chased Manny Pacquiao. He said it was a huge mistake. It's a career regret, and he understands that. That just shows to your point where, you know, it takes two to tango. You need, one side could want the fight. The other side's going to go chase a Pacquiao fight or not be 100% in on negotiations. Then those fights are going to fall apart.
Yeah, and that was disappointing. And, he was absolutely right. That did complicate things going forward. I've got to say, look, I was a little disappointed selfishly. I saw Golden Boy signed a new deal with DAZN. I mm-hmm. think that complicates the situation. It's one of the situations with Golden Boy. One of the reasons why with Golden Boy on the Munguia situation, we thought that was a very makeable fight because they didn't have an obligation to DAZN. And yet that still complicated and prevented us from being the fight, the fact that Golden Boy wanted DAZN involved in the fight. Now it's a little bit more complicated.
Is it, though, with the fact that DAZN has pay-per-view?
Well, you know, there's a lot of complications with that. You know, they're not just any pay-per-view distributor, and you know, it's a little bit like, you know, the HBO situation. But this is not Mayweather-Pacquiao, you know, and so I don't know that the fight is big enough to have two networks into it.
Right.
No, it certainly doesn't need to it. And being completely candid, you know, what are they bringing to the table? You know, other than Ryan, they're, you know, we knew when we worked with UFC on McGregor, we knew they were talking to their fan base.
Right.
And we were talking to ours.
I guess it would just be making the fight.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difficulty. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, maybe it's possible. You know, the reality is, look, it's up to Ryan's promoter and whether he's going to be flexible or not.
Right.
If they make demands, then, you know, unfortunately, Ryan's going to suffer.
There's some huge fights to be made for at 135. There, you know, we got an undisputed fight coming up next weekend. Javonta Davis is talking about wanting big fights. Ryan Garcia. Boxing is alive. I have a shirt at John Boy Media. Boxing
I
is
saw
alive.
It, I saw
it is alive yeah. right now. And I agree with you. It's music to fans' ears that competition is good. Boxing on every week, big ratings, is good for the health of the sport. There's not one league, so we need everyone to do their part, whether it's Showtime, whether it's DAZN, whether it's ESPN. You can go up and down. I think those are the three big ones now. I'm losing track these days. But
yeah.
that's what it is. So I appreciate it. Hopefully we have another banner second half for boxing. And big fights been made, and I appreciate you sitting through that Manscaped brief.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you sold me. I'm going to stop on the way home.
There you go. Thank you, Stephen Espinosa. Appreciate the time. All right, right now being joined, former NFL standout, newest media member, Mr. Ryan Clark, boxing super fan, MMA fan.
Yeah.
Just all-around sports fan, right? But now
yeah.
you're just getting into the combat sports world.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been crazy to have a show. I do an MMA show with Daniel Cormier, and it was like one of those things. Everybody hated me, like right in the beginning, you know.
Welcome to the combat sports world.
Yeah, and it was strange. It's strange for me because obviously I do football. One of my closest colleagues is Mina Kimes. Like, she's never played football, but she's truly one of the best at what she does. And the thing that she taught me was she doesn't try to talk about things she doesn't know. Right, like, you're never going to hear me say, oh, you know, right here, Tank should have kept up the left because he knew the counter was coming. No, I don't talk about those things. I talk about the things I see. I talk about the storylines and how fights go. And so it's been really cool to get an opportunity to, you know, be a part of the UFC. And then now in being around, you know, Showtime and get an opportunity to see some of the things that they're doing with boxing.
I think it's only a good thing. Someone like you has a wide net. I mean, you're a former NFL player. You got a huge following. If you can shed some light on the combat sports world, the boxing world, it doesn't always get the biggest press. And you're like you said, you're not going to go in and break down a fight per se, but you're going to talk about the tanks. You're going to talk about the heavyweight division. You're going to talk about Spence and Crawford. That's a good thing, right? Mainstream coverage for the sport is good.
You know, I thought so. And it was pretty cool. We got to talk to Errol the week he fought Yordanis Ugas.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things. I had never had a conversation with him. I'd seen him before, spoken, but never got an opportunity to really get into the mind of a boxer. But we try to do that where it's not just about the ring, right? Like what has life been like? Have you prepared yourself
from one athlete
moment?
To another?
Yeah, you know, and so that's what's been really good. And I think, obviously, Showtime tries to do that with All Access.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get even deeper than that into the thought of what makes you tick and what makes you go.
I love that.
I think boxing, I think MMA, which is really odd, right? MMA has found a way to build superstars in a sport that's extremely hard to build superstars.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where boxing has to get back to. Sugar Ray Leonard was a superstar, but also Tommy Hearns was a superstar, even though he wasn't
Marvin
the boxer.
Right.
He wasn't the boxer Sugar Ray was, and we had Roberto Duran at the same time. And I think the thing we're starting to see now is boxing is starting to make some of the fights that people want to see.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
Yeah.
Who do you like in this main event, Tank versus Rolly? Power, a lot of power.
Yeah.
Awkwardness of Rolly, judo background, and obviously Tank is Tank. You know, he's one of the best fighters in the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like Tank, and it's one of those things you don't want to necessarily succumb to the norm or to what makes you comfortable, right? And seeing a guy like Rolly, and whether it's awkward or so what Tank says, that he just hasn't learned certain things. But think about this, like when I'm playing football and I've studied film for the entire week, or I played football my entire life, I know that from this split or from this formation, this is what we get, right? When a team does something away from that, it's difficult to adjust. You have to adjust to it. So it's the same thing. Tank has been seeing certain fighters and certain punches and certain styles and techniques his entire life, and now he's going to see something different. And when you're a guy like Rolly who does have that sort of punching power, maybe Tank's anticipating orthodox.
Yeah.
He's anticipating what he's seen his entire life, and you do something different and you land one of those big punches, which we've seen him do in his previous fights. But man, Tank having that experience, you know, watching this press conference and seemingly seeing him zoned in and understanding
he's
the
maturing.
Moment. Seems mature. And then for Rowley to be like that little dog, like, come on, Spike. Come on, Spike. Yeah. Let's go.
I thought they should go on tour together. They had some great comedic timing down.
Man,
listen, they're playing off each other beautifully up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the best part about it was Tank's calmness to mm-hmm. Rowley's rage.
Well, that's going
to
be the fight.
Yeah, you know, and that's going to be who harnesses those things the best and can explode at the opportune time
yeah.
is your winner.
Dame Lillard, NBA All-Star, huge boxing fan. Had him on my show. He is by far, pound for pound, number one NBA basketball fan. Who would you say is that guy in the NFL? Well, there was a guy, you know, putting together the pay-per-view fight parties back when you were playing. Who's the guy?
I was that guy.
You were that guy?
Yeah, I was okay. that guy. I was the guy. So when I played, so I am the guy that also missed Tarver's knockout on Roy Jones.
Which was like an anniversary.
Right. Check it out.
Coming up.
Making popcorn. So I have
second round.
It was me and my wife's first house, right? And I'm popping popcorn because it's the second round. I'm like, there's right. I'm turned around, bro, and all I hear is no.
Yeah, that was a big
like,
one.
Everybody screams, and I turn around, and I was like, wait, not Roy, right? And I was dang near in tears. And so yeah. I've always been that guy, man. Like I remember my parents and their friends pooling together money. I think it was what 1990, early 90s, or whatever. To watch Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I've always been a part of families that have loved sports. Man, my family will watch the dang rodeo if it's the only thing on. And so I've always been that guy.
I love that. All right, Ryan Clark, appreciate the time. Wait, before we let you go, I'll put you on the spot right here. Top 5 pound for pound.
Ooh. You know, Canelo just loses. Mm-hmm. But I still think weight classes matter.
Yep,
I think weight classes matter and size matter. So I think I go Canelo 1. Mm-hmm. Tyson Fury, I know you look at his body and you're like, ugh, like how could he? But I think he's 2. Bud and Errol, right, are 3 and 4 to me.
Okay.
Right? But I don't know where.
That's fair.
You know, like and I think they owe us, which I asked him when
That's
he came
the
on the Pivot podcast. You know, I think they owe us that opportunity. To see, let's see, and if we're gonna go, see if we're gonna go 5. It's gonna be smaller guy. I don't know. I think you put Tank in that conversation. I think Charlo after his last win is a guy who's also in that conversation.
There's
for
guys
me.
Like Usyk. There's the smaller guys, the Chocolatito of Juan Francisco
Estrada. You know, also too. And he's older now. And it hurts because Teofimo loses the fight after him.
Yeah,
like
Lomachenko.
Yeah, I keep going back to like if Lomo just starts earlier.
Yep.
Right, like
throwing punches. Yeah.
Yeah. If he just starts earlier, like is he truly out of this conversation?
Well, that's the thing. Lomachenko's the guy that no one wants on their pound for pound lists are absurd.
Right.
It's like beauty's in the eye of the beholder. There's no criteria.
Yeah.
It's subjective.
It's
what you think.
It's
the whole sport's subjective, right down to the damn judges. So pound for pound lists fuel conversations. Great for guys like us in the media.
But man, Lomo, man, like I just think from a boxing purist standpoint right now, I think he just does things.
Yeah, he fights from 126 to 140.
Yes, yeah,
come on. And he wins the fights. But the whole lightweight division between Tank, Loma, Kambosos, Haney,
Kambosos on fire. Yeah.
The whole division's on fire. We're going to see a great fight Saturday night. Tank and Rowley, explosive for however long it lasts. Ryan Clark.
My man, thank you, brother.
Appreciate the time. I like that you're a fan of boxing and MMA. Keep doing your thing.
All right, have a good one, brother.
Thank you.